Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Y'all know how we call Cousin Bobby, Cousin Bobby? Well, we call him Cousin Bobby because he's cousins with Miles. So you can see him sitting next to each other. That's cousin right there. That's cousin life. That's cousin. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. Anybody want to read? Nobody wants to begin the scripture that begins with Judas? Well, then Judas, one of the 12 disciples, I'm starting with verse 14, went to the leading priest and asked, "How much will you pay to betray Jesus?" And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Anybody want to continue? Verse 17. Stop right there. Is it I? Thank you so much. That was awesome, Tracy. Oh, I thought you were coming to me. Is it I? And Jesus told them, "Well, you said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took some bread. So then we go into the narrative of the communion that we always hear, right? But we skip the part right before the narrative of the communion. Danielle did an awesome job with communion. Y'all give it up for Danielle. It was powerful. Dude, it's a story of betrayal that has a climax of communion, right? And I love the question that the betrayer asked. Is it me? And Jesus did not answer. Jesus said, "Well, you said it." I want to invite you to think today about 2016. I've seen more, you know, I'm an anthropologist at heart, and anthropologically speaking, I've put my finger on the pulse of more pain and sorrow and griping and complaining and moaning around any year in my life than I've ever experienced in 2016, right? So many of us have experienced so much that has made us want to holler, right? As Marvin Gaye says, right? And I'm trying to put my finger on the pulse of what it is. And I think that in many ways we've blamed presidential elections. And in many ways we've blamed police brutality. And I think in many ways we've blamed the systemic injustice in our world that is in our nation. I think in many ways we've done that. But Jesus is at the table with the disciples, and he is telling the disciples that it is not the political system that will in fact kill him that is the problem. That is the betrayer. And it's not the social system that constructs all of the hate that comes Jesus's way. It is one of the disciples at the table. And one of the disciples says, "Is it me? Am I the one? Am I the one who is responsible for not living into my fullest potential in 2016. The most irritating thing I saw, which led me knew that I had a problem, was somebody who put up a post on Facebook that said, all y'all complaining about 2016. 2016 was a blessing for me. I was like, you're racist. You know? I'm gonna unfriend you right now. It doesn't matter that you're Latino, you are racist. And then I thought to myself, why am I hating on them celebrating their year? And I wonder if we were to comb through 2016 and in every moment that we've griped about what someone else had done at the table, if we were to sit at the table and recognize that maybe we are responsible for some of the things that we did not do to our best capacity. So let us not move into 2016 with the middle finger to 2017. Let's not move with... You know, let's not go back like this here. You know what I mean?
Take that.
That's passed backwards. You know that. You know it. Let's face 2017, not looking at 2016, but looking into eternity, recognizing that you are the one. Ain't no year gonna be the year. You are the life. Have I betrayed the God in me? I love Ariel. And I love how he leaves announcements. It's so, it's like each word has a spring on it. Just bounce, you know? And I love what he said last Sunday. He said, happy birthday to the Jesus in you. And we all laugh like, ah, ha, 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 ha. But I was like, dang, there is a Jesus in me, right? That is living and experiencing life with me along this journey. And I'm wondering if there is a Christ in us that we are betraying in the way that we lead our lives. In the way that we make decisions, in the way that we move from day to day. I tell you one thing, boy, the decision to come here last night was a good one. God, it was so live. Not that those of you who did not come did not make a good decision by being where you were. God bless you where you were. But it was so great. It was such a beautiful night called the Supper of Lasts. And we used the model of the Last Supper because we wanted everybody to come with that last thing that they wanted to think about doing ever again. And Tia did an amazing job. Y'all give it up to Tia. Leading us in that journey. And what I liked is that we created it so that it was sort of like the Last Supper and people were seated at the table. Now, the traditional model for what the Last Supper looks like is like people sitting up at a table, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But in the ancient times, you know, furniture was expensive, and so people sat on the floor. And because they sat on the floor, they could lean into each other and connect with each other in a more meaningful way. And so we wanted to do that and experience that as we went into a new year. And so this is sort of the schematic design. The night is designed to invite you to decide this is the last year you betray beauty, bounty, hope, and healing in you. We betray those great things in us in the way that we make decisions every single day. We're trying to find those things to come from the outside in, but they are already there, but we betray them internally. Beauty is already placed inside of you. Bounty is already placed inside of you. Hope is already placed inside of you. Healing is already placed inside of you. It is simply your responsibility to nurture it in a way that will allow it to flourish and flower and grow. So what I'd like to do is to use that model of the table that's most popular, which is Da Vinci's table. And we're going to talk about lessons in self-betrayal from Da Vinci's Last Supper, which is a really popular portrait of the Last Supper, like the most popular. It was 1645. And this is the original one. And the original one no longer truly exists because they've had to touch it up so much over time to where some of the original paint is not there anymore, right? And what's also interesting about it is that it has been a model of what it means to be around the table with people who are close to you, who could possibly betray you. We've had dogs at the table as a popular model. We've had pandas at the table, which is my personal favorite. Muppets at the table with Kermit as Jesus. You know Kermit got to be Jesus. Mario is Jesus. Are y'all selling me out? So these are popular models of tables where, and Da Vinci created this scene It was like he captured a snapshot right after the verse where Jesus said, somebody betrayed me. And it's like, oh, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Oh, my God. Here's the lesson. First lesson. Lesson number one. The table God has set for you this year is bigger than you think. We make the table that God sets for us so small. Man, one of my favorite scriptures is that God prepareth a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Ooh, that's so live. If God is preparing tables for you in the presence of your enemies, God is perpetually in the business of making tables for you. Some friends of mine and I decided that we were going to make a table, a 10-foot long table, and we used two of y'all's tables. I'm sorry, I stole it. Me, Brian, and Anthony got on the floor right here, and we handmade this table, this beautiful 10-foot table. And for me, I don't know about for you, B, but for me, it was sacramental. It was sacred, us making the table, sanding it down, and cutting the wood, and nailing stuff in, and Brian messing up the paint, and us having to redo it, and It was beautiful. It was something about the table that reminded me of the cosmos. And how God has prepared the whole universe for us to come and sit at the table of the universe and to completely feast with our lives. And so I think about Da Vinci, and I think that he decided to create this portrait because he believed the same thing. And The portrait is in a convent, the Santa Maria della Grazia, which is sort of like this convent that's popularly known to host like all of these nuns and these dignitaries in the Catholic Church. And this is the mess hall. This like the dining hall, right? And so we traditionally see it as something that hangs on a wall, you know? But the original portrait is 15 feet tall, 29 feet long. This thing is huge. So this model that we've used that we think can be reduced to a wall inside a museum won't fit into a museum. It's so interesting how we believe that what life has to offer us is so much smaller than what God has destined it to be. The table that God has set for you is probably 100 times bigger than you can imagine. But our imaginations are rooted in our experiences and our memories. But what if God is not bound by your memory to determine your future? What if God is not bound by your past pain to determine your future potential? What if there is a table before you in 2017 that's bigger than any table you've ever sat at in your life? And it is for you, my friends. Even the table that God prepareth for you in the presence of your enemies. And I love that scripture. Guess why? Because God prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies, which means that you are responsible for creating things in life, even to benefit your enemies. The people who hate on you for your ideas, the ideas that you have to impact humanity, they are members of humanity and will be impacted by it too. So you got to look past their hate to look towards the love that God has, even for them, in the work that you have to do. The table is bigger than you freaking think. So we finished the table and we got it into my place. And Anthony and I were charged with the responsibility to bring it in. And it was so freaking heavy. Like, we bought all kind of reclaimed wood, and I have wood on the side of it that came from my grandmother's house. It's 110 years old that came from the siding of my grandmother's home in Houma, Louisiana. So we slapped that on the side of the table. We went to a resale shop and got a whole bunch of frames, and we slapped the sides of frames on it. And we was looking at it on the ground like, ooh, it's so live. Let's pick it up. We was like, head, head. That thing was big, right? It's bigger than you freaking think. So then what, Marlon? Don't betray the way you move and make decisions this year, because the table is bigger than you think. Oh, okay, you're right. I need to, let me know when you're ready. No, because I'll be moving too fast. Oh, but I moved in the way. Okay, y'all ready? So why? Great question, y'all ask amazing questions. Because it's bigger than you think. Like everything is. Everything is bigger than you think. And so the way that you move and make decisions need to be on a broader scale. So? Let's read this together. Ready? Read. Move like you are in the midst of something great. Avoid moving like you are missing out on something good. You see, a lot of us, we create this stress and this tension in our lives, and we be making decisions and moving like, oh, I don't want to mess this up. I got this 1 year to do this. I got this one opportunity to do this. I want to mess this up. And then we move, and then we lose things. Like me, like I have a friend who's like a doppelganger of mine who hides my keys. Like, it's me, but he be hiding my keys. And he puts them in really nice places, and you know what I mean? Like in the corner of a cupboard, you know what I mean? I'm like, why did you put it there? He's like, you were rushing. I thought I just put him to the side, you know? We rush so often through life because we feel like we're gonna miss out on something good by rushing relationships. Amen, somebody. We feel like we're gonna miss out on something good by rushing business deals. Amen, somebody. By rushing the way we go to the store, by rushing the way we go to the bar, by rushing the way we have hard conversations, by rushing the way that we move past difficult things, we rush too fast, mostly because we feel like we're going to miss out on something good if we don't get to it faster. But what if you slow down and root yourself in the present moment and you don't move like you're about to miss out on something good? You move like you are in the midst of something great. And you're like, oh my God, life is so good right now with my right heel pressing against the asphalt that's pressing through the heel of my shoe, against the leather, against my sock, against my skin. Ooh, I'm in a good moment right now. Can you imagine who you are when you do show up if you move with that kind of presence? Versus the person that shows up all frazzled. Okay, I made it. People like, oh, have you ever walked into a room, people kind of like, ah. You're like, all right, are y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all started already? Did you get, that's how I be coming in. Danielle, did you get the, what? Oh, okay. No? Huh? No. And then Shelly be like. It's all right, Mr. Hall, it's all right. Like, shut up, Shelly. We gotta get this stuff together. Don't you see us? Don't you see that right there? We're like, So last night I experimented, and even this morning I experimented, and I said I'm gonna move like I'm in the mist. And when I say like I'm like you're in the mist, I mean like you're in a mist, and you can't run in a mist because you'll run into something. Because you can't really see. You can only see like maybe a couple of feet in front of you, but if you move like you're in a mist. And like you're moving through like the sweet honey that is the will of God. It's like, oh, this is, life is so sweet. And you may be 5 minutes later than you probably had planned to, but that just means that you need to wake up earlier in the mist. You know what I'm saying? Why, Marlon? Well, because see, one starts with anticipation and the other with anxiety. When you move in the midst of something great, you move with anticipation in any given moment. When you move like you're missing out on something good, you move from anxiety. And what does the Bible say? Let's read it. Ready? Read. 1, 2, 3. Be anxious for nothing. Man, if you don't know no scripture, that scripture right there will save your freaking life. Right? Let's read it again. Be anxious for nothing. Man, the doors of the church are open. Anybody doing that, you know, you just be anxious for nothing, the Bible says. Anxiety and the anointing don't even have conversations. The anointing that God has on your life, what is the anointing? I'm sorry, podcast listeners. Y'all know I don't use religious language. An anointing is a burden-removing, yoke-destroying power, which means that no yoke can contain you when you are living in your anointing. You break the chains that people put on you. It's a burden removing, which means that no burden from the past or anticipation of the future can keep you down. Your shoulders are back and you are light. The anointing and anxiety will never agree. they are at odds perpetually. Let's continue reading. Ready, read. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Stop right there. In other words, that when you are anxious for nothing and you are prayerful in all things, there is a peace of God that's bigger than your calculations, your understanding. So you add 1 + 1 + 1 = success. But if you move with the peace of God and you are anxious for nothing, God's going to multiply equations that you thought required addition. And sometimes he'll divide relationships that you thought were going to add things to your life too. But when you move in the anointing of God, when you move in the midst of something great, my friends, and you are not trying to rush your way into success, but you are moving to the rhythm of God's heartbeat, which moves much more like a waltz than it does like house music. You know what I mean? Sometimes. Lesson number two. Work from where you are abundant. You have what you need this year. You were born with what you needed to succeed in 2017. I was born in 1972, and I'm proud of it. And I was born in 72 with what I need for 2017. And it's just taken me 44 years to realize it. Wherever you are in the spectrum, this is the year you recognize that you were born with what you need this year to be who God has called you to be. This portrait right here, of course, is the moment Jesus, look at Jesus like, yeah, well, you know who it is. You said it. You see me like, well, you said it, right? Everybody's like, oh, no, it's not me. It's them. It's them. This is Judas in the portrait. And some people may not know this, but Da Vinci was a futurist, and in fact, if you look closely, Da Vinci has given, he's spying for the Romans. He's like, yeah, y'all see where we are? I was worth the money. So this, everybody else, most of the models are real people. For Da Vinci, he brought people in, and he was trying to find a person who would incarnate the image of a person who had wronged somebody. And so he knew that there were a lot of people imprisoned for murder at that time. He already had what he needed. And so what Da Vinci did, like most people don't know this, but Da Vinci went to a prison and asked for the most dangerous prisoner possible. And when he did, the first person that they sent to him didn't look dangerous enough. And so he sent them back. So the second most dangerous person, he went to the place of abundance. He didn't start from his head. He went to a place where it was already abundant. He didn't like try to create something, right? He didn't try to make something to reflect what he wanted. He started with where life was abundant. Marlon, well, why are you saying that? What you need to change the world does not begin with what you don't have. What you need to change the world, you already have, and you have it abundantly. Any major corporate leader will tell you that you first develop your strengths, not your weaknesses. You don't start with where you are deficient. You don't start with where life is scarce. You don't begin there, because if you begin there, you'll get disheartened. You'll quit. You start with where you are abundant. Okay, so what does that mean? That means I know how to bake. I want to change the world. Should I go into politics? Or should I start a bakery? You know what I mean? You know? And I know how to talk. I know how to make people feel real comfortable. So, should I apply for the UN? You know, should I do that? Because that's what world changers do, right? They work for government. Or should I be a radio personality that impacts people's lives via the radio? Man, I really, really believe that people should come together. So, should I become a traditional priest or a pastor to bring people together? Or should I be a lyricist and use my music to bring people together? I'm saying that I want you this year to start with where you are abundant, what you are already good at. You feel me? What you already love to do. Don't think in your mind, what new thing do I need to add to my life to make my life multiply? Dig into your life for where God has already made you rich. You already have gifts and graces, but we think that someone else's gifts and graces are better than ours simply because they aren't ours, which is in many ways heretical. You are a heretic for believing that someone else's gifts that God gave them is better than the gift that God in you gave you. You say, I don't believe in God, every time you believe someone else's God is bigger than yours. Someone else's gift is bigger than yours. I have a friend, and one day I was like, man, you are amazing. I've never seen anybody take pictures like you. He's like, no, I'm not, I'm whack. I was like, man, you are being a heretic right now. You remember that, B? It's like, you're being a heretic. I was like, because I'm worshiping the God in you as I celebrate the gifts he's giving you. So when you tell me, no, you are an atheist in that moment, my friend. We live these lives that are anticlimactic to the mission of Jesus. Every moment we deny our own gifts. We betray the God in us. Judas was modeled, I already said that. Work from where you are abundant, not from the places in your life that are scarce. Well, why? One starts from desperation and the other from destiny. If you are desperate for success, Psalm 50 says this, listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God. Bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices, concerning you bringing your gifts to God, right? Or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. Then check this out. Have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, God says, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. No, every bird in the mountains and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. What God gonna tell you, man? Give me some more ox. Ox, sacrifice the ox. For the world is mine and all that is in it. This scripture is a theological framework for what we try to do when we bring things to God that are outside of ourselves to try to prove that we are worthy. Like in traditional models of sacrifices, they would bring animal sacrifices to God and burn them at the altar and be like, so now am I good enough? I got this thing from over there and I burnt it to let you know that I'm good enough. And God is like, I don't need you to feed me. You don't have to barbecue an ox for me. I'm God. I'm good. I'm full. Right? He's saying, don't work so hard to do something that's not you to prove that you are divine or worthy of divinity. He's saying, I'm good. Just work on me in you. And you will glorify me before others. Just work on me in you. And all things will be drawn unto you that you need to accomplish your mission. This year, we will not move from desperation nor from anxiety. For this is the year that we recognize that everything we need, we have to change the freaking world. Man, I don't know you from scratch. You looking to the left like, oh God, I just came here for the first time. But man, when I stood next to you, I recognized that there was something for you to do that no one else in the world can do. And if you don't do it, it won't get done. Every single one of us has something to contribute to the world. but you're waiting for somebody to offer something to you before you feel like you can contribute something to the world. For those of us who are ending relationships that we thought completed us, please know that God is going to find a way for you to completely depend on Him this year in a way like never before. And you will finally complete things that have been incomplete in your life because you've been waiting for other people to complete you and your projects have become incomplete. You completely have what you need. Move from destiny. Move from anticipation. You have what you need. Don't betray the God in you.